You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
When the Jags come with you, Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yeah, them taking Jags, here they come. You better run for us, run.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can find me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, and you can find my co-host, Misto Christopher Thornton, at Misto Christopher. Chris, say what's up to the people.
Hello, folks. Just like the Jags, we are both fairly healthy.
Yeah, I was actually able to host today and not sound like I was dying. But we'll go ahead and get right into it. Today, we are recording Saturday, right before the game. We are all very excited. Chris wants to talk a little bit about ticket sales near the end because ticket sales have jumped. That is going to be an exciting discussion that we are going to have. But first, we will go right in to the injury report. And like Chris said, like us, the Jaguars are relatively healthy. I'll flip it there a little bit. They only have three designations for the game. Anyone that was on the injury report this week, minus Leonard Fournette, Allen Hurns, and Pinkard, do not have a designation. So that means Telvin Smith and Blake Bortles will play. Marquise Lee, Jalen Ramsey, and Cam Robinson will play. Leonard Fournette is questionable with a quad injury. That is the most concerning of all three designations. Allen Hurns is out and Larry Pinkard is out. So Fournette obviously is the spotlight on the injury report.
And he says he'll play, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's scratched.
I would personally prefer if he was scratched.
Also agree.
See, they can, I don't want to take teams lightly yet because I want the Jaguars to like be proven before I start taking teams lightly. And I think they're proven, but I mean, like, it's our first year where we're in playoff contention. I'd like to actually, like, go in and win a playoff game before I start taking other teams lightly. At the same time, this is a Houston Texans team. They beat by, what was it, 23 points? Start of the year? 22?
Mm-hmm.
So it should be relatively easy in the team. In the Houston, while the Jaguars have gotten better, Houston has gotten worse and more injury-plagued. So this should be a relatively easy game to win, especially with how hot that Bortles has looked. So right now, if we can trust him passing, like, I'm fine with sitting Fournette and letting Ivory, Grant, and Yeldon take over like they did against the Colts.
Completely agree.
And that really does it on the Jaguars side. So that makes it easy.
And now we go to the Houston Texans, who still have, I think, 20 people on their
They have a lot.
Yeah,
they have a lot. And four players have been ruled out. Three have been ruled as questionable. The rest will be playing. I don't even want to read the people that don't have a designation.
They actually went up. They're at 21 people now instead of 20.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking at the injury report online that's got like all the bold. Bold indicates a change in status from the previous day. Lamar Miller went up from limited to a full. So did Andre Ellington and Jonathan Joseph, which means that they, even though they were limited or out earlier in the week, they are now full participants and will be playing. Jelani Jenkins, inside linebacker, out with a concussion. Kendall Lamb, tackle on their already weak offensive line, out with a concussion. Tom Savage, quarterback, you guessed it, out with a concussion. And wide receiver Braxton Miller, you also guessed it, out with a concussion. So their four outs are all due to a concussion. Then questionable is Jadeveon Clowney with a knee injury and an illness. DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Ramsey's son, is questionable with a toe injury. And Michael Pruitt, who was new to the injury report, was limited on Friday. Their tight end with a calf injury, he was ruled questionable. Not only is this team already bad and injury playing Watson out for the year, stuff like that, but this injury report also really helps the Jaguars, because that's four guys already out, and I'm pretty sure all of them were starters. So then the other three guys that are questionable are also starters. And, well, I don't know about Pruitt, but I know obviously Clowney and Hopkins are two of the most important people on this team, and they are questionable. So,
and I really hope Hopkins plays, because I do not want to be robbed of Ramsey and Hopkins. Even though I know, if Ramsey dominates Hopkins like he usually does, Texans fans will just be in my mentions saying, "Well, DeAndre Hopkins was injured; he was not 100%." DeAndre Hopkins could be 150%, and he would still bow down to his father, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why their fans are so delusional, but they are. Sad. I mean,
probably just like Jags fans, we clinged on to any little bit of hope that we had. So.
Oh, we are Jags fans. I do not get me wrong, and this is not supposed to be insulting, but we're totally delusional to some stuff. There's a lot of us that still are, even though the team's winning. Like
Marquise Lee.
People are arguing. This could be a topic that we didn't have on the outline that we could talk about a little bit. People are like banging the table for Marquise Lee to be extended, and I want everyone to realize like he's going to be either the number three or maybe even the number four receiver if he is extended. So I don't know what you guys are like clamoring about. I'd rather keep Hurns. There's a way. There's. I'm just saying.
Short-term memory must be great.
Maybe. I mean, Lee's had a good two games, but you wouldn't think that he leads the NFL in drops still, considering how much people want him to stay.
I mean, I will say that he has drastically improved his performance the last few weeks, but still
he
not
has.
Like number
he
one.
Has. Yeah. He's going to want money because he thinks that he could be a playmaker somewhere, but he would realistically be the number three, maybe the number four on this depth chart with how Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook have come along. You guys need to prioritize how A-Rob is going to work out, how that contract's going to go down, whether they tag him or give him a prove-it deal or a long-term deal, whatever he wants to do. I don't know.
I mean, I like your idea, and as some other people have also mentioned, a Beecham-style deal with a one-year front-loaded deal and then a much bigger back end option deal. Like I saw one, it was like 1 year, $10 million, and then obviously if he performs well he gets a 4 year like $64 million option.
Now,
which comes
now people have opposed that with saying why would Robinson take that if he's not getting a lot of money right now.
He gets $10 million in 1 year.
He gets $10 million. That's more than he's made in his career. And if he's gonna say no, then say okay, 12.
Tag.
See what he wants. Then you can tag. Like worst comes to worst.
Literally, the Jags have all the leverage.
I would like for them to at least try and be a little conservative right out the gate and see where that goes. And I don't think that Allen Robinson would really struggle with that because he wants to be here.
I mean, I think 10 is a fair number. 10 for 1 year coming off an ACL tear. And then, like I said, if you get that 4 year option for 64, in the end, you're getting a 5 year, $74 million contract, which is, I think, top three receiver money. So
I mean, how much money has Allen Robinson made in his career with Jacksonville anyway? Like, if we're talking $10 million, he's made $3.5 million as a Jaguar in 4 years. Like, he will take a $10 million
deal.
He's
probably made much more off endorsements than he has
right,
actual
right, payroll. Right, 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 right. But in terms of contract, like, he's made $3.5 million in 4 years. If you 2016, you're coming off an ACL tear. Like, we'll give you $10 million now. That's like a 300% jump compared to what you made in your entire career. And if you come back and play as well as we know you can, great. You're going to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL. Like, I mean, unless you're just a total like airhead thinking, oh no, I deserve money now. And I don't think Allen Robinson is that guy. I think he's a relatively cool, like, team guy. I think he would take that.
And then Allen Robinson is currently the 88th highest paid receiver in the league right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think there are 87 receivers better than Allen Robinson, whereas Allen Hurns is the 21st.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Allen Robinson's due for a big payday.
And with Lee and Hurns, like I said with Lee, it's one of those two will be the third or fourth receiver. I would bet the fourth. Keelan Cole has come along well. Lee will want money. Hurns has been hurt. I think Hurns will want to be here. And there's an out in his contract this offseason where you cut him and it's $0
dead cap.
No dead cap. And even if you don't cut him, I'm sure you can just restructure it and that won't hurt it because there's no dead cap. In which case, I could see him going from 7 to 8 million a year to like 4 or 5 million a year and staying on a 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely believe that he could do that, whereas Lee might be asking for 7 to 8, and I'm not paying my number 4 receiver or my number 3 receiver that money.
Lee was drafted to be a stretch the field kind of guy.
They have that.
And Keelan Cole and Westbrook in the last few weeks have proven that they are better at that. Lee has become an elite crossing route specialist.
And if you're paying that dude $8 million to just run cross routes.
I want to see the breakdown of snaps and how many of his receptions and targets come across the middle of the field.
And they work at the same time. Like, I'm not... If you're paying that type of money for that one route and ability to then cut up field from it, like if that's really all you're getting, like you're going to be in cap hell in a couple of years. It's just bound to happen. That's not the way to really spend your money. And I like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've got a love hate relationship with Marquise Lee when he has like awful drops and then tries to be cocky about it. Like the taunting penalty and stuff, all that different stuff. Like, he makes you hate him sometimes. At the same time, I also like him and his work ethic. And I know he's struggled with injuries to start his career, so bouncing back from that and doing well like right now is really cool to see. At the same time, like, this is a business, so you can't keep both. You definitely can't keep both him and Hearns, unless somehow you give Hearns like a $2 million a year deal and Lee somehow becomes a bargain, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, right now, ideally, my wide receiver core is Allen Robinson, D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole, and you draft a guy. Or free agency, but there's not really anybody on free agency I'm too keen on. So you draft a guy, and you have a really young and really talented receiving core again.
I would keep Hearns and add that to that, and I would still draft a guy later, have him be a guy that can play special teams. Have him be a guy that can plug into Aurelius Ben's spot, and you're keeping 6 receivers. You've got those 4. You've got a special teamer that's not a return man necessarily, but an Aurelius Ben type, and then you still keep Mickens. Because, I mean, even if you classify, Mickens doesn't really get offensive snaps, but he's still classified for the receiver position. But that's a case where you can keep 6 receivers.
It's amazing how much of these practice squad and training camp guys have made their way onto this active roster, mm-hmm. and have really provided something.
Well, that's what I read earlier from Philip Heelman from the Times Union. Jaden Mickens and Larry Pinkard were living out of their cars,
yep.
to start the year, at like parking at Everbank Field like overnight and sleeping there. Came from nothing and now suddenly are 2-time AFC special teamer of the week. So Mickens especially, his story is really cool. Go ahead.
I was going to say Jadon Mickens for this year is making $465,000.
Yeah, so that's a deal. Plus, I just love saying his name. Jadon Mickens. I don't know. It's fun when Andrew Catalan calls it. But when we come back, we will be discussing the player of interest on both sides of the ball for the Jaguars versus Texans and the Jaguars offense versus the Texans defense.
Are you trying to buy or sell your home, but having issues with the common realtor? At the KST Real Estate Group, you need not worry. Rather than relying on traditional marketing methods, KST uses a proprietary online approach to buy or sell homes in your desired location. But don't just take our word for it. Here's a testimony from a previous KST customer.
This comes from Matthew. To begin with, Tom was an all-around excellent buyer's agent. Considering I was a first-time home buyer and there were many things I was unaware of, Tom answered every question I had and made me aware of the things I overlooked. I specifically remember calling Tom multiple times a day as we went back and forth on a few houses, and he answered every call and had an answer to every question. I ended up getting my first home under appraised value and felt really good about the process and purchase. I highly recommend Tom to anyone, from first-time homebuyers to experienced homebuyers. Tom is wise beyond his years, and it is evident through his work as an agent. I will continue to use Tom in the future and continue to recommend him to friends and acquaintances who are in search of a new home.
Call the KST Group at 904-735-0609 or visit kstrealestate.com for more info. KST, the modern way to buy or sell your home.
So this is a new segment that Chris has brought up to me, and I figured this would be a good time to start it right before the Texans game, something we'll do for the rest of the year and then next season as well. Player of interest on both sides of the ball for both teams. So, Chris, since this is your idea, I'm going to let you bat it off. Go start with the Jags, and let's hear the Texans.
All right, so I guess we can kind of just, I'll name mine, then you name yours, and we'll just kind of go down the list.
Yeah.
So my starting with our Jaguars, player of interest on my side of the ball is, in fact, my quarterback of number one, Blake Bortles.
Yep.
I think Blake has been playing very good football the last few weeks, and I think this is another game to kind of prove it. It's not necessarily the opponent, but more the outcome. You win and you're in front of a sellout crowd at Everbank. There's actually problems getting into the stadium now, something I don't ever remember.
Right.
As far as being lines. But yeah, Blake Bortles.
Yeah. Speaking of that, while you're on that topic, real quick, the team put out a message telling people to start going into the stadium instead of at 12:35, at 12:10. So if you're listening to this and thinking about what time you need to get to the stadium, I would say be in line at 12:10. Just a heads up. Continue.
To be fair, I'm in my seat. I'm in my seat by 12, so...
Jesus. That's when I leave my tailgate, about 12.
And that is why most people are late.
I'm in at kickoff. I'm always fine. I'm always good on timing. Some people might not walk as fast as I do. That might be their issue.
I saw an idea. I say offer 50% off beers until 12:45, and the place will be packed before kickoff. So,
it's not a bad idea.
Blake Bortles, player of interest on the Jags offense. So, Zach, give me your player of interest.
I was the same way. Bortles, just continue the trend, continue the hot streak, keep it up, keep it rolling, make it easy. On defense, are we doing defense for the Texans then? Or
yeah, we can go defense for the Texans.
Then I'd say Jadavian, as long as he is healthy. He's like really their only chance to find success because the Texans secondary has been really bad, especially since Boye left, obviously, thank God. But if Clowney's healthy, I think he's really their only chance to try and put pressure on Bortles to try and stop his hot streak. And suddenly, like, if you make Bortles fall apart after these past two games, you might have a bit of a ball game. I still would think the Jags would win because it's the Texans and how weak they are right now. But suddenly, like, we've seen how that works if a team does really rattle Blake. But hopefully his newfound confidence would push him over the top with that. But I think that's really the Texans' only chance. So I'm watching for Jadavian Clowney.
Yeah, and you have the same one as me, Jadavian Clowney. He's definitely come into his own this year, playing a lot better than years past, especially in the absence of guys like Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt. He is banged up this week, so he might not have a full impact as he always has, but he's still the player to watch on that Texans D-line.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's really, because that's really the only important person you need to watch, like you said, with them being banged up. Then I look at the Texans offense, and I see TJ Yates. Like, I think that's it. I mean, obviously, you want to talk about DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller. Same time, this is TJ Yates' first start for the Texans in a long time. And I remember a couple years ago, he won them a game in the playoffs. I think that was more fluky and lucky than anything. I don't know if he pulls that off against the Jags, but he offers a bit of mobility that Tom Savage didn't offer. So it'll be fun to see if the Jaguars will be able to get like 5 interceptions off of him, have another like groundbreaking day, or if he's able to put up at least like a decent-ish game against a good defense. It'll be fun to watch, especially if it's in our favor.
Yeah, if we're going just off the wall player to watch, I would say TJ Yates. He's kind of the wild card at this point. You don't know what you're really getting. So, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is really the only, if Deshaun Watson was still in, he would obviously be my player of interest because he was the leading, probably MVP.
Well, not only that, that'd just make the game so much better. This team would have a better record than
this
game
would be. I'd be terrified because Deshaun Watson terrifies me.
Me too.
But yeah, TJ Yates, the wild card, see what he could possibly do, though I've seen many good quarterbacks test the Jags defense this year and many have failed. So,
are they even good quarterbacks anymore? We've kind of embarrassed them all.
Yeah, I mean, Big Ben's kind of playing at a good rate right now.
He is. The Steelers have turned it around. I thought they were going to totally fall apart after the Jags game.
I mean, the Jags beat them, and everybody's like, is Big Ben done? Is the Steelers game done? Never doubt great quarterbacks like this, because I remember when the Patriots in their Super Bowl run 2 or 3 years ago, after they had that blowout loss, so I think it was the Chiefs, and they're just like, is Tom Brady done? Are the Patriots done? And then we got the famous on to Cincinnati, and the ass-whooping of the NFL began.
Yeah. Well, then who do you have on defense for the Jags? As
my player of interest this week is none other than Jaguars defensive end Yannick Ngakoue.
We this was not planned for us to, like, replicate. Like, Chris and I didn't tell each other who we were picking for each one. And I swear to God, like, we all just picked the exact same ones.
Great,
I was
going to say Yannick.
That's exactly right.
everybody kind of looks towards AJ Boye in the revenge game and Jalen Ramsey, but I feel like Yannick Ngakoue is really kind of the focal point because he's really been turning it up this year, and I think he's kind of been in Campbell's shadow to most of the national media. Jags fans obviously know how good he's been. But Yannick Ngakoue with 2 sacks, and if Campbell didn't get any this week, would pass Campbell and own the Jaguars' sack record in a season, which I think is a great storyline. Not a lot of people are kind of realizing. Campbell, obviously, in his first ever game for the Jaguars, was against the Texans, where he posted 4 sacks and kind of lit the Jaguars and the league on fire. That's when people were like, oh, man, this could be something, when the Jags posted 10 total sacks. But I think Yannick Ngakoue against another subpar quarterback and a truly atrocious Texans O-line. I mean, I'm looking at the PFF grades right now, and Campbell and Ngakoue should each have 3 sacks.
I'm thinking Yannick gets 3. I genuinely do think that.
I mean, going against the grades, Yannick Ngakoue is an 85. He's an 85 on PFF, and he's going against a 38.8 left tackle. I'm just gonna give you the grades for all the blockers. This is including a dual tight end set. Tight end Anderson, 48. Left tackle Allen, 38.8. Left guard Suafilo. And I'm pretty sure Suafilo is hurt, isn't he?
He was on the injury report.
He was limited. So
limited.
Suafilo, 33.9. Martin, 43.7. Max, 37.4. And who Campbell's going against, right tackle Giacomini.
I don't know.
Who I'm pretty sure was also hurt. Maybe not. Giacomini, 32.9. And that's who Campbell's going against.
They should eat. I think it's going to be Yannick. He's got a chip on his shoulder with the Pro Bowl.
Could 10 sacks happen again? Very likely.
We're going to surpass it.
And then their final tight end is a 41. So if you're just going off all blockers, nobody higher than a 44 grade, or 48, sorry, and that's the tight end. And that doesn't even count for blocking, really.
Right. So we talked about Blake. We talked about the offense, maybe not Fournette, which I think will be fine. Westbrook is having... I know he's picked up more and more every game. I think this is the game where he breaks a big score.
Yeah, I think this is the week that Westbrook gets his... I mean, he had his first touchdown last week against Seattle in basically prime time, but I think this is the week that he has that play that he just, like, one cut and he's gone.
Yeah, type thing. I agree.
Just barn burner on the sideline against Johnson.
Anytime you put... Johnson. Anytime that you put him on the weak side and it's just him one-on-one with some guy, as long as that dude isn't pressing, I don't care what coverage they're running. But especially if you're going – actually, I do care. Especially against a cover three, like you put him on a skinny post and he will – good night. Watch every week. He gets open a lot on when he gets a little bit of separation from the corner, as long as he's able not be pressed because of obviously his weight still hurts him. But you give him the face and suddenly if he's alone not winning, he will beat you with his speed. There was a play against, I think it was the Colts, where Blake just looked for maybe a split second longer to the left side. He'd have seen Dee Dee was wide open on the sides. Just total, just gone. There was nothing. It was against a cover three, and the safety wasn't quick enough to react to how quick Westbrook is. So you can get him outside, whether a post or outside along the sidelines. He's going to win matchups.
And then, I think Dee Dee gets his first career 100-yard game this week. He might even 150 or maybe 200. I don't know. Something. I think this is going to be the Dee Dee Westbrook show.
I'm here for it.
I am totally here for it. I think that's exactly just kind of the next thing that he needs.
So we mentioned the tickets. We mentioned how it's really sold. Because, I mean, before the Seahawks game, this game looked like it was going to be an embarrassing crowd. Now suddenly, what'd you say it's at in terms of total tickets left?
Before we started the show, we were at 201 total tickets left. Total. Off Ticketmaster. In the entire stadium from Ticketmaster.
Whereas, like, 2 weeks ago, it looked like there was a solid, like, 20% of the stadium was purchased.
There was a lot.
This is good. This is winning football. This is winning football.
Because I've been asking people every week to get there early. And, now looking at it now, we are under 200 now. We are at about 193 tickets left. So, 8 more have sold.
Tell your friends, it's the Jaguars' last home game until they have a home game in the playoffs, which I'm like virtually guaranteeing.
Rip my wallet.
Go ahead and get out there before the prices get up even higher. What are our final predictions for the Jaguars versus Houston game? Chris, let's hear it from you.
Ooh, I think it's I think it's going to be a bar burner.
I think so too.
I mean, what did I say? I don't even remember what I said on the Texans crossover. I think I said
whatever I said, it was like way too like
you three were all keeping it kind of close. I went straight to a blowout and I'm sticking on that. I'm thinking like I think they might get some fluky scores, but I'm still like 38 like 10 type. Jags have scored 30 their last 2 weeks at the bank. Let's make it 3 in a row.
31-13. Jaguars. I like you heard it here. You heard it here. And I think that'll do it.
And that touchdown's going to come in garbage time at the end.
Probably.
For the Texans.
Or at least they'll break double digits like late in the game. It's going to take a while. But I think that'll just about do it for us here at Locked On Jaguars. We will hit you with the recap episode after tomorrow's game. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall, at Misto Cristofo, and specifically at Locked On Jaguars. Let's get it to 300 followers. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. We can use more subscribers, ratings, reviews. Like if you love the show, if you hate it, do whatever you got to do to make sure we know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Help us out there. We're looking to get our Locked On Jaguars website fully set up and running within the next couple of weeks. Me and Chris both have been given our logins to the site, so we do have that just in terms of getting content ready, making sure the site is as perfect as it needs to be. That'll be coming soon. That's going to be exciting. Y'all are going to want to check it out. Until then, go Jaguars.